I dance on the keyboard. This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. I dance on the keyboard. Oh, yes, I do. To me, one of the most wonderful things that I could ever do would be to write, to use the typewriter. I used the typewriter from very early on. I had a beautiful Royal portable typewriter with a green ribbon in it, and I wrote all of my letters and all of my work for the university and all of my studies and all the things that I did for Unity School of Christianity and for the College of Eye Metaphysics and all of the various schools that I went to, the University of Chicago, Chicago Theological Seminary, Marquette University, University of Wisconsin, and I did all those things, but what I remember most was when I went up to northern Wisconsin to stay at the home of my parents, who had this second home up there in Mercer, Wisconsin. It was a lovely 300-acre property, and it was on 2 miles of river frontage, and it was on 1 mile of lake frontage, well, maybe even a little more. But it was just really glorious. And our house, our cabin, was the only cabin on the lake, Rice Lake. And I went up there in the spring, just at the time of my birthday, and I had bought myself a beautiful Royal typewriter with a green ribbon. And on the train on the way up, I typed stories, I typed things that I wanted to do. And when I got to the cabin, the log cabin, it had a big iron stove in it. And I put logs in the stove and heated up the cabin. And I would sit there looking out the window at the lake, looking out at the tall pine trees at the forest all around. And I would write stories about what I saw. And my keys, my fingers would just dance over the keys. And at that time, you had to press them down pretty hard to make the keys strike the platen and get the print to come on the paper. But I was practiced in that. As I worked up there and as I did those things, I felt in paradise. And indeed, I was in paradise. For I was at my keyboard. And I never realized how much my keyboard was my paradise. And with my keyboard, I wrote down my ideas. I wrote down my thoughts about the place up there in the northern Wisconsin woods, about the trees, and about the rivers, and about the beavers who built dams there and blocked up part of the stream, and about all the other things that were going on there. And it was just a lovely adventure for me, all by myself. I had just turned 21, and I wanted to have this great adventure, this great experience that to me was truly an exciting adventure. All of my life, whenever I had a typewriter available to me, I took a course in school at Wauwatosa Senior High School in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and I was in the typing class. The teacher of the typing class was also the Shakespearean teacher. But in the typing class, we had a very nice program going. And as I sat in this typing class, I fell in love with the keyboard. I fell in love with the typewriter. But I couldn't slow down. I couldn't slow down to do it perfectly and beautifully. I had to zip along. I had to go so quickly. And my teacher would say, those of you who want excellence in life will give excellence in everything you do. Everything you learn will be excellence. Everything you learn, everything you practice, everything you share, everything you are, it will be excellence. And she used to say, when your fingers dance over the keys, remember, it's your mind that is operating your fingers. And your mind knows the keyboard perfectly well. And so your fingers are just an extension of your mind, extension of your brain, dashing around on the keyboard, flashing over the keys and always striking the right key, the exact correct key. And teach your fingers to mechanically strike the keys. The time of magic and the time of truly feeling that you're dancing on the keys, that will come very shortly. It will come very shortly. But first, teach your fingers to be mechanical on the keyboard. I imagine it's quite likely that the same program works for a person who's learning piano or learning any field where you have to use a keyboard. And so I did this. And I had my typing lessons at school, in my typing class, and it was three times a week. And we'd go into her room three times a week. And sometimes we'd arrive in her room a little early, because we were all so eager for it. And before our class, she'd be teaching a class on Shakespeare. And as she taught this class on Shakespeare, she looked like a totally different teacher. A totally different teacher from our typing teacher, because she would articulate herself so beautifully to the students who were learning Shakespeare, and she would tell them how to feel the ideas that Shakespeare was expressing, feel the words that Shakespeare was writing, feel the concepts that he was presenting, and not only just to hear them or to think of them as a story, but to think of them as a way of communication, as a way of communicating your ideas so that the public will hear your ideas and delight in your ideas and will thrill in your ideas. And as you thrill to Shakespeare, your listener will thrill to Shakespeare. As you love it with all your heart and soul and being, your listener will. And I sat through several early classes, and later I took her course in Shakespeare and improved my ability to tell the story, whatever story I wanted to tell, with all my heart and all my soul and all my being. And her typing class seemed to just dovetail into that perfectly, because in the typing class, we learned to mechanically type the keys, to mechanically do them perfect, and to type with almost no errors at all. When I went down to Unity School and became a student minister there, I worked in silent unity. And working in silent unity, we had to type envelopes first. That was our first chore. If we passed that test, we could go on to letters and we could go on to more studies at being student ministers. And so we learned that we type every letter, all the addresses, absolutely perfectly without one error. From Unity, no errors ever went out on typewritten matter. They didn't have the computer of today, and they didn't have all of the other equipment that is so wonderful today. They didn't have electronic typewriters or things like that. And we had to type them on these manual typewriters, typing them absolutely perfect. But I remembered my teacher. I remembered my high school teacher who said, type it absolutely perfect. Tell your mind where you want the keys to be struck, and your mind will tell your brain, which will tell your fingers exactly where they're to do it, and they will do it. And then I became a newspaper editor, and I became a publisher, and I became many things in the field of publishing. And I delighted in it. But to me, the time spent on my typewriter was always the most fun. And every typewriter on the market, and the various times through those years, we always had the latest typewriter. And we would strike those keys with precision. And when the back shop would receive our typewritten copy to be put into Linotype, they received it perfect, without an error, without an erasure, without a typeover, all perfect, because I had learned to mechanically let my fingers dance over the keyboard, and to mechanically dance over the keyboard and have the greatest time in their life and just to love it and delight in it and think it's the most beautiful, the most exciting adventure in the world is to type and to write and to share the ideas in my mind and in my heart. And sharing those ideas in my mind and heart was sharing them with all my love and all my graciousness and all my perfection. It was an opportunity for me to be as perfect as I can be. To this day, I still delight and practice in typing perfectly, in writing perfectly, in doing everything perfectly. To this day, typing and Shakespeare are one. I went on to college and took Shakespeare and thoroughly enjoyed it and thoroughly enjoyed all the opportunities I had. Oh, I never became a Shakespearean scholar or one who just doted on Shakespeare, but Shakespeare was always a magical mind to me, a person who could write stories about fields he had no knowledge, to write stories about areas that he had no information for himself, but he listened within himself, and within himself the idea was there. And his writing was sort of a takeoff on the politics of the day. And he wrote about people, and he wrote about things, and he wrote about what was going on in his world. I'm sure his pen danced over the page, writing down the things that he wrote, like Mozart, perhaps, who wrote down the music that came to his heart, the music that flowed out of his soul. And he wrote it down on paper, letter perfect, note perfect, never having to use an eraser. What a magical man. He taught himself, as it was his nature growing up, to be listen to what was in him and report what was in him coming out in ideal perfection. I love to let my fingers dance over the keyboard. I love to let my fingers tell me how wonderful the world is. They're not hurting. When I would be a newspaper editor and I would go to the council meetings and I would take my little notebook, and it was no bigger than my shirt pocket, and I would take down the entire council meeting of several hours of discussion and thoughts. And I would go across the street to my newspaper office from the city council rooms, and I would immediately begin to write up the story. It was now 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, maybe even midnight, and I would sit at my typewriter alone in my office, and I'd be typing up the story from my notes. And the story would bring out the feeling, the attitude, the emotions, the purpose of the city councilman, the aldermen who were working in the California city of Atwater. And the next day, when they would see in the paper what happened at the council meeting that I had written, they would say, "Herb, you did a great job. Herb, you reported it so perfectly. Herb, you were just marvelous in taking down all the things that went on. You took them down even better than the court, the reporter that we had there who was doing the council reporting news, and not news, but for the council records." And I said, "I heard what you had in your heart, and I heard what you had in your words. And I combined them as best I could so that it would be you and it would be the information you wanted to impart." And they said, "You're amazing. All of our gruffness, all of our swearing, and all of our anger, and all of our vituperativeness, you left out. You put in there that we were strongly thinking of these things and we had a very powerful attitude about it. But you never made us look like the fools that we were, using the poor language that we used. You made us look like articulate councilmen who really knew what we were doing. And perhaps we did, but we needed you as the interpreter." And I laid to my teacher in high school, who taught me how to let my brain send to my fingertips my every word that wanted to come. And I typed rapidly and quickly and perfectly. And from being in the Shakespearean courses that I had, both in high school and college, I learned to listen to what's going on in the world around me, and to take that information of what's going on in the world around me and put it down on paper so that others can hear what went on around, so that others would have a flavor of what was going on in the council meetings, what was going on in the farms and the villages around our newspaper, what was going on in the groups of people who met in our community, the churches and in the schools and in the hospitals and in all the activities, all the police reports. So the police reports were usually one of my lesser interests because I was more interested in what people were doing that were uplifting and valuable rather than the miscreants who made mistakes and who were then incarcerated for that. If we pay attention to our blemishes, if we pay attention to our mistakes, if we pay attention to our problems, we will always have blemishes, mistakes, and problems in abundance in our life. But when we pay attention to our goodness, our rightness, our pureness, our wholeness, our ideal self, then, to be sure, we will have our ideal self radiant, alive, active, and dynamic in every area of our life. And as I concentrated, my fingers struck the right key every time. And I said to myself, I have perfect typing, I have perfect typing, I have perfect typing. And I would say to myself, my typewriter reveals the ideals in my heart and mind. I'm able to just lay out this blanket of poetry, of the music of words and of letters, to bring forth the ideas that I wanted to express. For me, being a dynamic, forceful, happy, joyous individual, looking for the good in life, looking for the happiness in life, looking for the rightness in life, is the most exciting, most adventurous, and most delightful thing I could ever do. For me, to get out of life, the magic that is there requires me to have my fingers dance over the keyboard and bring forth the music of life in words and paragraphs and imagery that is everlasting. It touches the lives of everyone who reads it. It touches the lives of everyone who is spoken of in it. And as everyone is touched by these wonderful words that are heard from dancing over my keyboard, I am blessed. I am so wonderfully blessed because seeking perfection in every area of life is fantastic. I guess that's why when Steve Jobs, in working on his apples, was ever seeking them to be more and more perfect. Oh, he drove himself to distraction. He had his own personal problems. He had his own personal hang-ups in life. And sometimes we concentrate on the personal hang-ups and we forget that here was a man who, beyond all of the things that disturbed him, beyond all of the things that made him unhappy or that made him happy, he took every idea that he could and he embraced it into the most beautiful outer objective form that he could. And every computer was ideal and became something that the world admired and admires and loves. He brought to the world an inner perfection in his outer world, in the world of machines, in the world of computers, in the world of iPods, iPads, iMacs, iPhones, and the other many objects that he brought forth. We may have troubles, we may have problems, we may have disturbances in our life that keep us from being a happy person all the time. But if in everything we seek out perfection, we'll find that the happiness is there. we'll find the joy is there. And we'll find, as we let our fingers dance over the keyboard of life, we will bring forth the most profound ideas and words, and the most profound music, and the most profound self in us, released for all the world to enjoy, but primarily for us to enjoy. Be ye therefore perfect, even as is your Father who art in heaven. We are called forth to be perfect. So let us be perfect. And it's easier than you think. Have a lovely day. Have a perfect day. And know that as you have a lovely, perfect day, your life is just beginning and will always be that way. I love you. I love you. I love you.